Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson which Jonathan has just read. And our theme this morning, following Jesus. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, have you ever asked the question, how can I be saved? Each of us, I pray, believes that Jesus is present this morning and that His Holy Spirit has led you here to hear His preached word. And in hearing His word, you will hear Jesus speak a number of very thought-provoking statements this morning. As we consider the text from Mark chapter 10, may you put yourself in the place of the rich young ruler. And as you do this, you'll be confronted, as this rich young man was, with truth. The truth of Jesus' holy word, and the truth you'll hear is this. Following Jesus is not a matter of simple morality, but rather, following Jesus is a matter of absolute faith and trust in Him. This morning, Mark gives us a striking sequence in the 10th chapter of Mark. In chapter 1, as you may remember, Jesus clearly tells us what He expects in a Christian marriage, and for that matter, in any marriage. Secondly, we heard Jesus tell us last week that we are to bring children to Him so that they could be blessed, that they may be baptized. And this morning, thirdly, we hear Jesus tell us that we are to trust in Him and Him alone. And not only are we to trust Him, we are to follow Him. We are to follow the only Savior of mankind. You are to follow your Savior. Beautifully, the Holy Spirit, through St. Mark, reveals to us, as Jesus speaks to this rich young man, this man who was probably a ruler of a local synagogue, and undoubtedly you will hear that he was a Pharisee. So to place ourselves into the context of what we hear this morning, Jesus is on His way to Jericho, and ultimately He will end up in Jerusalem. There, Jesus in Jerusalem will be betrayed. He'll be illegally tried for crimes that He did not commit. He will be beaten, mocked, scourged, nailed to a cross, and die. Die for the sins of the whole world. Die for the sins of this rich young man. Die for your many sins and, yes, my many sins. He is the very Lamb of God who sacrificed Himself there at Golgotha to take away the sins of the world. So now we come to the rich young man. You know, it's not too often and it's not very common that a rich person would kneel before any other person. Yet this rich young man comes running up to Jesus and he humbly kneels and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" As you think of his question, he is asking a very important question that maybe sounds quite reasonable to you. After all, the young man is asking Jesus this question because he believes in his heart that Jesus has the answer to the question. Yet the question is the very same question that many churches today are still seeking and still asking. The basis of the question is totally wrong. His question is based upon knowing that there is life eternal, yes, but that everlasting life is something that can be obtained by doing something, just one good thing. If he just does one good thing, then he can find all on his own eternal life. And he truly believes that Jesus has the secret. He has the answer to his question. My friends, this is heresy. And it's the same heresy we see today. This man knows the law and he believes that he has kept the law. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But he thinks that he can justify himself. That he himself could justify himself before a holy and just God. Yet there's something still missing. There's something that he hasn't quite accomplished yet. And because he hasn't done this good work, well, he's not sure if he will be in heaven when Jesus, or when the Messiah comes, I should say. The heresy is this, Pelagianism. Pelagianism, which is very prominent today, teaches that man is basically good. That man can come to God by his own merit and his own power. That he doesn't need the grace of the Holy Spirit. Thus, man can convert himself. That he, and you've heard this quite often, that I have decided to follow Jesus. I have done this. I have done that. That's Pelagianism. They believe that they can believe the gospel by their own merits, that they don't need the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That they can obey God's word, self-justification. Therefore, they merit the forgiveness of sins and eternal life by their own merit or by their own work. Yes, in the Lutheran church, we call it works righteousness. And this heresy is very, very prominent and a huge problem in the world and in the church today. And we see this heresy in this rich young man this morning. Today, in thousands of churches across the world, this problem is being voiced once again. You don't need the Holy Spirit. The cross is not important. It's what you do for Jesus. And it doesn't matter what Jesus did there at Golgotha for you by bleeding and dying. So therefore, Jesus addresses this young man. Good. Good teacher, the young man called him. But Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You see, the concept of goodness in the mind of this rich young man is based upon one thing and one thing only. Morality. Oh, we hear it today, don't we? Jesus is a good teacher. He was a good moral man. He kept the law, that was obvious, and therefore he is good. It doesn't matter if Jesus is theos, which is the word that is used in the Greek text, but more appropriately, the word that Jesus uses by saying God, he is invoking a name that you know and I know quite well. Elohim. Elohim. It's plural. Let us make man in our image. Elohim. The Holy Triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the one who is good. God is good since from God comes the highest good. Life and salvation. You see, the problem is that the rich young man was discounting Jesus' Godhead, thinking that Jesus is just a good moral teacher, but he's not God. Same today, even amongst so-called Christians. Jesus was just a good man, but we can't believe all this cross stuff. And we just can't believe all this rising on the third day stuff. But he's a good guy. So you think you're a good person, just like this rich young ruler. And you want to know how to obtain eternal life. Well, Jesus gives him, and he gives us the answer this morning. Keep the law. Namely, the second tablet of the law. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Do not defraud. Do not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. And isn't it interesting, as the kids heard, Jesus lists the fourth commandment last. You're to honor your father and mother. Jesus takes the second table of the law and he piles it right under the shoulders of this rich young man. And he does the same to you and to me each time we hear the preached law. Each time you think that you're morally good. Each time that you think you're self-righteous. Each day and each time you think you're a modern-day Pharisee. The law is piled onto your shoulders and you realize, I have broken each and every one. You and I, no human being, can keep the holy commandments of God that Jesus just listed. My friend, it is impossible. For Scripture tells us, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in just one point has become accountable for all of it. But what does a young man say? Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Really? Yes, really. The young man is quite sincere. He is serious. You see, he's a Pharisee. And Pharisees prided themselves in keeping the law, externally and ceremonially. They were the only righteous ones, and they had no problem telling you that because they truly believed it. He has no concept of having any fear whatsoever of God and His holy law. He did not truly respect the law. After all, He was the law, for He is the Bar Mitzvah, the son of the law. So according to the world, and according to all the people who followed this Pharisee, this rich young man was good. But only morally good, ceremonially good, externally good. So why is this young man seeking eternal life? He doesn't need to seek eternal life. He's kept the law. It's automatically his, right? If he's kept the law, why should he be afraid of not being saved? No, my dear friends. He has this nagging problem. He has this nagging deep in his soul. Maybe the same nagging that you have sometimes. The Spirit is speaking to your spirit, to your conscience. And He's poking and He's prodding you. For you truly know that you lack one good thing. Just as this young man lacked one good thing. And what this young man lacked was his Messiah. For you see, this rich young man, he was blind. He was a dissatisfied Pharisee who had everything in life. He had the right color of tractor. He had the right color of car. He had all of these possessions. He had all of this money, but he was lacking one thing. Messiah. Jesus. Just like today. People, Christians, are looking for the truth, they are looking for Jesus, and they always look in the wrong place. They look in Christian bookstores with all these self-help books. There's no truth found there. They think they can come into the church and pay a certain amount of money, and God will be happy with that. God's not happy with your money. He doesn't need your money. He wants us to be a good steward, yes, but He truly doesn't need your money. What He requires, my dear friend, is a broken and contrite heart. Something this young man has no concept of. So when Jesus confronts him with the law and tells him to sell all of his possessions, give it to the poor, and if you do this, you'll have treasure in heaven. And then Jesus says to him, come, follow me. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. The young man, his face drops and he slinks away from Jesus because he doesn't want to give up all of his pleasure, all of his joy and all of his money? There's the answer. The answer, my friend, is repentance. Repent of your sin. Repent of placing anything above God. Oh, you remember the first commandment and the meaning. We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. When God says all, he means all. Because that's all that all means. It means all, everything. You're to have only one God in your life. It's not to be a certain color of tractor, a certain color of car, a large bank account, a beautiful home, or anything else. Jesus is your only way. And in Jesus, there you find the treasures that were stored up for you in heaven. For through him is heaven itself, is eternal life. So that's the gospel call to each of you this morning. Come, follow Jesus, for he is your way. He is your truth. He is your life. And there's no one who can come to the Father except through him. Jesus is that inheritance. He is the one who has won it for you and given to you this free gift of everlasting life, won here for you at the cross. He has removed all the barriers. He has removed the effects of sin, death, and Satan. Jesus, there at the cross, my friend, he opened the gates of heaven for you. Yet Satan blinds you with all of these things of life. He doesn't want you to enter into heaven. He wants you to be in hell with him. So he blinds you with all these possessions. Put them away, Jesus says. Put them away and focus upon me. Focus upon the one who has saved you here at the cross and then given you eternal life. For the tomb, his tomb is still empty. And it will always be empty. For Jesus resurrected and he lives. He lives for you and he has given his life for you. He has given each of you that inheritance that is stored up in heaven. And one day he will come for you and he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you even before the foundation of the world." That's following Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.